Okay, we're doing Mishlei, and we're doing chapter 14, verse 31. So it says, "He who oppresses the poor disgraces his maker, and he honors his maker by being gracious to the poor." Okay. Now, the thing is, the way it reads, a verse is saying that benefiting the poor honors God, you understand, and it really belongs in Tehillim, belongs in Psalms, because it has to do with your relationship with God. Mishlei deals only with the practical, how to live in God's world. So the question is what is this doing in Mishlei? Okay, now the thing is like this: if you're studying any science, and there is and you do not accept certain facts of that science, then you're not going to be able to abstract all the correct ideas, because you're missing certain facts, okay? Now, if I don't accept the human being, I look down on him. Let's say, for instance, you know, you look down on a certain person, there's certain people, there's certain groups, there's the in group, and they look down on other groups, which means they don't consider them equal to you, which means they're not human. In a certain sense, you're considering them not equal to you, which is not human. So you don't take them into consideration. If that is true, then you're not taking certain facts into consideration. So therefore, you're not analyzing the facts correctly, okay? Because you don't have all the information, because you're not accepting these people as human, and really they are. So therefore, you cannot get all the information. So the thing is that in the first half, if I oppress the poor. So then, if I oppress the poor, that means I am not accepting that person as a human being, and then I do not take in consideration his needs and analyze him like you analyze a pasuk. You understand? He is a part and parcel of the system of human beings, and I have to understand all human beings. Because that's what I need to make the correct decisions in this life, because I must have all the information. But however, if I recognize, if I'm gracious to a poor person, means I recognize that he is human. The only thing is he's in a bad situation. So then I am accepting all the facts. The question is, there's one situation that's not mentioned in the pasuk, and that is, what if I just ignore? In other words, I'm not gracious to him, but I just ignore him, but I don't oppress him. The answer is, if I ignore him, then I'm not accepting him. In other words, you cannot ignore a human. You might not relate to people. You might not have to do with them. But if you ignore, it's like ignoring a fact in a certain science. You can't ignore the fact. You have to be aware that the fact is there. So therefore, the only way to recognize the poor is to be gracious to them, so that you recognize their situation. When you recognize their situation, that shows that you really recognize them, and that you accept them as a fact insofar as your analysis in human nature. Now, when we say honor God or insult God, okay, over here, in other words, God, we relate to God, and when we look at the physical world, we can relate to God in one of two ways. I recognize, in other words, through the physical world, I relate to God. I relate to God. That is the tilam. Or the other way is I use the physical world I live in God's world in the physical world. I learn to live in God's world in the physical world. What does that mean? In other words, like this. How do I know when I'm living in God's world? Okay? The thing is that I have to figure out what God wants from me. In other words, if I want to live in God's world, I have to figure out what God wants from me. The way we do it is that if there are consequences or if there are contradictions to certain ideas of the physical world, so then we know that thing doesn't exist in God's world. So we see that it's God's will that I should live in God's world, that I should live according to the consequences, avoid bad consequences, and do beneficial consequences. And anything that's contradictory means it doesn't exist. So if I see a contradiction in certain areas, I can't live according to that area. Okay? So that becomes a religious act to live in God's world. That's what God wants. We see that in two ways. We see that one from the book of Mishlei, that it's part of Torah. So it must be a religious act. But we also see it from the physical world, because when you look at the physical world, you see God wants you to live a certain way in his world. And how do I know that? Because if I don't live his way, I'll get consequences. Okay? And that becomes a religious act. Okay? So therefore, it is also honoring God when I live in God's world. And it's insulting God when I live according to my emotions, which are contrary to God's world, and I do things that cause consequences. That is not God's will. Okay? So here, what it means that you are honoring God or insulting God, it means that I take in consideration all the facts of the physical world so that I can live in God's world. Part of that, and a large part of that, is recognizing human nature, how to deal with human nature, and how to act towards people based on understanding human nature. So that becomes a religious act. That's why you are, if you don't do this religious act, then you're insulting God, and if you do this religious act, then you are honoring God. Again, in other words, to live in God's world, you must take all the facts of God's world. And if I ignore or degrade poor people, that means I hold them that they're lower than me, which means that they're not equal to me, they're not human. In that case, I'm not taking them into consideration. I'm not going to think about their lifestyle and what they do. Person that has that feeling of somebody is beneath them, they don't investigate what type of lifestyle. They don't care. They don't care about the person. You see? They just don't care. So therefore, they don't think of them, so they're ignoring facts in the physical world. It would be like learning Mishlei and saying 10 psukim. I'm not going to learn these 10 psukim. I mean, you learn the rest of the system, but these 10 psukim, you're missing information. You're missing certain details. You might have the general principles of Mishlei, but there's certain particulars that you're ignoring. You're not analyzing. That is the problem. In other words, if you don't know the complete science, you cannot. If you don't have all the facts, then you cannot analyze the science. You cannot analyze anything if you don't have all the facts. If you're not accepting certain people as facts, as part of the world, that the poor don't exist, you just ignore them or put them down, then you're not accepting all the facts of the physical world. You have to make mistakes. Then there will be consequences. What the exact consequences? I don't know, but you're ignoring facts. You're not thinking correctly. In other words, the question is why do they put it in terms of God? In other words, the reason why they're putting it in terms of God is they're trying to get across the idea that living in God's world, living the life of Mishlei, is a religious act. And that we know from two ways. One, because it's written in Mishlei, so it must be a religious act. Or not, it would be in Torah. Two is from the physical world. If you look at the physical world tells you that it is a religious act, because if you don't live correctly, if you live according to emotions, not according to consequences, then you pay the price. Okay, so it shows that God's will is that you should live within line with reality. What tells you the acts of reality if there are consequences? So therefore, it becomes a religious act. That's why they put it in terms of God. In other words, if you do God's will, that is a religious act. And if you don't do God's will, then you're not doing the religious act. You're going against God. So, in other words, obeying God is a religious act. So I could see that this is obeying God from Mishlei, because it's written in Torah, or from the physical world. A little more clarification. Eishes Chayil, woman of valor, describes a person that lives the life of Mishlei. Okay? And if you read through it, you see, she's very, very practical. She's gracious to the poor. She's nice to the poor. She gives them money. She helps them. But basically, a basic life is very, very practical. And she's not lazy. They emphasize the fact that she's not lazy at all. And she constantly is very, very practical. And she does everything. And she's works from morning to night in a practical way. The question is, what is this doing in Torah? If you want practicality, go to college. That's what everybody tells me. You know? So the thing is, what is this doing in Torah? That's the question. What is this? Well, why is it in Torah? Why should Mishlei is just a practical life. Well, why does it have to be in Torah? I'm saying that this pasuk is telling us that it's in Torah because it's a religious act. It's a relationship to God. When you live in God's world, that's a relationship to God. And since you have a choice of living in God's world and not living in God's world, that is your choice, whether you live the religious act or you don't live the religious act. I'd just like to clarify the difference between Psalms and the Proverbs. In both subjects, we use the facts of the physical world. But in Tillim, we use the facts of the physical world to understand God himself, or how God relates to us. In Mishlei, we use the facts of the physical world to live in God's world. Both subjects use the facts of the physical world, but they go in different directions. One is simply understanding how God relates to us, or who God is. But the second way is it tells me how to act in God's world. It's not understanding God better. It's understanding how to live in God's world. What's the best way? What is God, or what is the best way of living in the physical world? And what does God want for me? He wants me to live the best way in the physical world. That's his will.